My name is Armina Cherkic. I'm reading my paper titled When Objects Refuse Silence, Violence, Resistance, and Reshaping of Knowledge. The paper is published in Mermutations, Journal of Transformative Systemic Practice, 2026. I will begin by reading the abstract, followed by the paper in full. Abstract. This paper reflects on how Julia Jude's 2017 African Indigenous Oral Traditional Indarkened Feminist Practice and David Newman's 2021 Dictionary of Obscure Experiences influenced my work with women who have experienced partner violence and with institutional representatives in Bosnia and Herzegovina. Through a series of workshops, I explored how objects can interrupt dominant ways of knowing and invite witnessing rather than interpretation. Objects were first presented to institutional representatives without accompanying stories, creating space for not knowing and relational engagement. This process led to the creation of Preplitanje nasilja, Cherkic 2026, a practice-based document. The paper reflects on how this work reshaped my understanding of knowledge, language, listening, and decolonizing systemic practice. Keywords: violence, resistance, objects, witnessing, decolonizing practice, systemic practice, narrative therapy. When I read Julia Jude's 2017 African Indigenous Oral Traditional Indarkened Feminist Practice, I did not think about how to apply it. Something else happened. It stayed with me, not as a method, not as a tool, but as a disturbance. Image of the objects on the floor, in the room, private, intimate, and personal. The paper speaks about knowledge that does not belong only to written text, to theory, or to professional language. It points to knowledge that lives in bodies, in relationships, in what is carried, remembered, and often left outside what we recognize as valid. I began to notice how quickly, in my own work, I moved to translate experience, to make it understandable, to make it usable, to make it fit. And I began to slow down. This slowing down shifted how I think about violence. Not as something visible, documented, and measurable, but as something that lives in relationships, in tone, in silence, in objects, in what I held and what cannot be said. Objects began to feel important in a way I had not fully allowed before, as a part of the experience itself. Locked phone is not just evidence. Clothes are not just memory. A photograph is not just something that represents. They are a part of how violence stays, and also part of how resistance is held. The relationship between a woman and an object is intimate. It does not need explanation to be real. Objects do not stand in for experience. They participate in it. In one workshop, I invited women who had experienced partner violence to bring an object. Not something that explains what happened, but something that represents their resistance. This felt important because women are often invited to speak about violence through what was done to them, less often through how they resisted. The objects that entered the room were different. Children's clothes, phones, photographs. There was no pressure to speak. The objects were already saying something. Objects brought by women as resistance. And in that space, I began to understand more deeply what it means to take seriously forms of knowing that are not only verbal. Later in the process, we invited representatives from institutions, courts, centers for social work, and safe houses. All of them were women. And I was very aware of this. Women who have experienced violence, women who work with violence, women who represent institutions that are expected to respond to violence, women who are working in this project as well. And still, violence that is, in most cases, enacted by men. But we were not in the same position. Some women came to institutions asking for protection. Some women are the institution. And I know that many of them are often placed in a position where they have to defend the system they represent. It did not feel right to invite them into a space where they would be blamed. So we tried to create something else. Not a space of accusation, not a space of defense, a space that is not binary, a space where we could stay with complexity. For me, the objects were not first presented to women who have experienced violence. They were first presented to women who represent institutions, not as a way to classify or understand the women's experiences, but as an invitation to stay with not knowing, possibly to resist the knowing. The representatives were not asked to interpret the objects, they were invited to observe, to witness, to stay in silence, to make their own meaning, but without assuming that this meaning belongs to women who brought them. In this way, the objects interrupted something very familiar, the position of knowing, the position of we understand what happened. The same objects were present. The women who brought them were not. This absence mattered. Because it interrupted the expectation that women must explain themselves in order to be understood. At first it felt unusual, maybe even slightly uncomfortable. There was something almost strange, maybe even a little too simple, in trying to understand violence through objects. And yet, they stayed. There was a pause, a silence, and something began to shift. Without the stories, the objects opened space. People began to speak differently, more slowly, more personally, not only as professionals, but as women. For a moment, institutional roles softened, not disappeared, but loosened. even without meeting the women, even without hearing their stories, the object seemed to bring a kind of human closeness into the room. Almost as if the objects carried something of the woman, not as information, but as presence. Not something to be known, but something to be encountered. One judge said something that stayed with me, that maybe change in the system might not begin with the laws and procedures, but with something much more subtle, a softer tone of voice, a pause, a moment that allows woman to speak. This felt important because it brought attention to something we often overlook. Violence is also carried in language, in tempo, in interruption, in the way we ask questions, in the way we listen or do not listen. And maybe resistance can begin there too. At one point I realized I had a choice. I could explain the objects, translate them into something professionally meaningful, or I could step back. I choose not to interpret. This wasn't easy. It meant letting go of a familiar position, the one who understands, explains, and gives meaning. Instead, I allowed the objects to remain partly unknown, and something opened in that space. When objects are not explained, people begin to relate to them differently, not through correct interpretation, but through connection, through their own associations, their own discomfort, their own memories. Objects became a way of speaking about violence that did not require immediate clarity, that allowed something more tentative, more relational, more human. And this is where I began to understand decolonizing practice differently. Not as something we add, but as something we unlearn. The need to explain. The need to know. The need to hold authority over meaning. From this process, something unexpected emerged, a document. Переплетание насилия. A dictionary of experiences and understanding of violence. It was not planned. It came from the people began to recognize a name together. From what was felt but not yet had words, the document is not a manual, it is not a professional tool. It's something alive, a space where language moves closer to experience. Before this process, I thought of decolonizing practice as something theoretical. Now, I think of it differently. Maybe it begins here, when we do not rush to interpret, when we allow knowledge to come from places we do not control, when we recognize that institutions are not neutral, when we notice how language itself can carry violence, and also when we recognize that we are not outside of this. As therapists, as professionals, as women, we are part of the same relational field. This work does not resolve violence. It does not offer a clear method, but it does something else. It slows things down. It creates space. It makes visible what is often unnoticed. It asks us to stay with discomfort, not knowing, not explaining, not being certain. And maybe this is where something begins to change. References. Cherkic A, 2026, Preplitanie Nasilia, A Dictionary of Experience and Understanding of Violence, Unpublished Practice-Based Document, Jude J, 2017, African Indigenous Oral Traditional in Dark and Feminist Practice, Indigenous Knowledge on the Wrong Side of Matter, Mermutation, Journal of Transformative Systemic Practice, 5767, Newman D. 2021, Dictionary of Obscure Experiences, continually updated by Newman 2021, Sydney Narrative Therapy Dulwich Centre. Author biography. Armina Cherkic is a systemic family therapist, supervisor and doctoral researcher at Tavistock and Portman NHS Foundation Trust, University of Essex, living and working in Bosnia and Herzegovina. She is founder of the Mentis Institute, where she works with families, communities, and institutions through systemic narrative and dialogical practices. Her work explores violence, relational ethics, decolonizing systemic practice, and the relationship between language, objects, memory, land, and place. DOI available in this published article. Copyright and image permission. I confirm that I hold copyright for the included image and grant permission for publication. Author's note. In writing this text, I engaged in a dialogical process that also included an AI language model. This process raises further questions about voice, authorship, and knowledge, questions that resonate with the themes of this paper.